Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, studying a what I believe to be a very, very pure Bible. Why do I say that? I'm one of those King James only kooks, the lunatics that I need mental help. I believe it because this is what it says. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so that's why I believe what I believe. And so we are studying what I believe, what the Bible tells us is a very, very pure word. Revelation chapter 10. I believe that this is Jesus. I started laying that out for you last week. Again, if you disagree with me on that, then that's okay with me. As long as you still believe that this is the Word of God, and it has no errors and no mistakes in it, and what is common today amongst those who study the Bible and try to extract something, rather than letting the words of the page speak to them, they go to back and, oh, let me look at the ancient languages. Let me see what it says here. And I will be honest with you. I don't have a particular problem studying Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic. That's not a sin. I absolutely don't believe that. I have on occasion referenced, when I did the Giants videos, I referenced the Hebrew of some of the words that were translated as giants. What I found was that every place where you had a Hebrew word like Nephal or Gibor or any of these other Hebrew words, when you collect them all together and look at it, the proper translation for each one of those is giants. And that's what the translators did. And there's been some other cases too. And so I don't have a particular problem looking into the Hebrew language, looking into the Greek language. I think it's a valid. So obviously the translators themselves must have known Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, and they did. They did it exceptionally well, by the way. And so I don't have a problem with that. It's when you decide that you don't like what's on the page. It's when you decide that you don't like what has already been interpreted for you. Then you go back to this original language. You look at and you're just you just look at Strong's Concordance and some of the concordance, and you find out that there are, you know, maybe 10 different ideas of what this name means, and you pick number 9 because, and then it has a root of something else, and then you go to that. But then you take the scriptures then and you twist them around to make it say something that really it did not say. And you have to remember, you had at the time of this translation 54 men who sat in a circular committee peer-reviewing each other's work, so that there wasn't one guy on the committee that said, well, what if I look at the Hebrew and it might say that. And then you have the other 53 going, no, that's not right. And we have men before us who have translated this Bible, and all of us agree that's not the right way to do it. And I believe that God led in that. And so we're looking at just the text of this King James Bible. We saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, Revelation 10, verse 1, clothed with a cloud. Very interesting. He is a mighty angel. He is coming down from heaven. And don't skip over that, because that's actually what we're going to talk about today. And a rainbow was upon his head. Think about that one, all right? And his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. We're going to break these down. We're going to look at each description that John gives of this angel. Now, last week, we won't recover this, but we spent time dealing with the idea that Jesus has been and is correctly identified with the office of angel. And we examine the scriptures, the office of high priest, prophet, judge, preacher, king, bishop, prince, apostle. There were earthly representations of that. Or in the case of the order of Melchizedek, there were heavenly high priests. We see that in the book of Revelation. You see it in other places. And Jesus was held the high office of every one of those groups. He is the shepherd. He is the bishop of our souls. He is the chief apostle. He is the King of Kings. He is the preacher. He's the judge. He's that prophet that the woman at the well talked about. And so it is not outside of the scope of Scripture to identify Jesus then as an angel. In Hebrews, it's correctly said, to which of the angels said he, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." That's what sets Christ apart from all of the lower realm of the angels. He is all totally God. He is the Son of God. We are sons of God, and so Christ is chief amongst all of us. There are apostles, and they lay the foundation stones of the church. And yet Jesus Christ is the chief of those stones, the chief apostle. And so I believe that when it says, "I saw another mighty angel," I believe that according to Scripture now, I have an allowance to think that possibly this could be Jesus. Let's look at this same phrase, "I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven." Let's examine that part in Scripture. I want you to keep that idea, and I want you to let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Where are you, Thessalonians? Here we are. Notice this, that he's coming down from heaven. Now I'm going to go to Isaiah here in a little bit. But he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we all know this passage pretty much by heart. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." He's coming down from heaven. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God," the trump of God. We are in the trumpets, is what we're looking at in Revelation 10. "The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." The Lord is in the clouds at this time, and then we are caught up to meet him. That is another part of this description in Revelation 10. He's clothed with a cloud. We'll get into that next. I can't wait to get into that. That is one of the most beautiful teachings that I've ever seen in the Scripture. I absolutely love it. And so anyway, this matches then. We see a mighty angel coming down from heaven. And I want you to think of that language. Think of those words then as we look at the Scripture. Let's give the opposite of that. Let's give the opposite of that. In Isaiah 14, we have Christ, the mighty angel, coming down from heaven. We have Jesus coming, descending from heaven. "The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout." Then we have this guy. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Then he said, "I will ascend into heaven." Christ is already in heaven. He has already ascended up into the right hand of the Father. We saw him there, Revelation chapter 5. Now we see him, I believe, we see him descending from heaven. Here, Lucifer is thrown out of heaven. Or excuse me, we have a bunch of Bible correctors out there now. WorldNet Daily is coming out with an article telling everybody that the word Lucifer, that's such a poor translation. Oh, it's so bad. It says Daystar. No, it doesn't. It doesn't say that. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" So we see Lucifer falling. It's like he's cast out or pushed out. Jesus was seeing that and referencing this when he referred to, he said, "I saw Satan falling from heaven as lightning." And so we have the opposite here. This angel descends from heaven. He's coming down with purpose. Lucifer's thrown at. "Get out of here, you filthy bum." I'd love to be able to do that, to throw the devil out. All right. So anyway, let's look at, take a Bible, turn to John. All right. The book of John, chapter 6. Remember, this is the mighty angel coming down from heaven. I want you to think of that language. Think of that. Think of something that the Bible says comes down from heaven. All right. Think about that. John chapter 6, verse 31. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert." You remember that story. We're gonna go there eventually in Exodus chapter 16. Wonderful, wonderful story. And the way the King James Bible presents it the way it lays it out with all the language. It's absolutely beautiful. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. Look at it in your Bible. He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Think about this amazing, just this amazing passage alone, that God looks upon the starving people of the world and he decides to feed them. He decides to feed them with bread that he sends down from heaven. That bread is, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so that bread is the word of God. It is Jesus. And when Jesus left this earth, who did he send? He sent the Comforter, the Bible, the scriptures. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And so he sent down from heaven, once he ascended, his word, his bread, his manna, his spirit. It's what gives us life and so on. In verse 41, the Jews murmured. Jews didn't and still don't like Jesus. They don't like it. They don't like the gospel going to the Gentiles, the Goyim. They don't like this dirty, nasty New Testament. They don't like it at all. They still want to hold on to their Jewish mysticism, the Kabbalah. They want to hold on to the Torah. Oh, we're going to keep the law and please God. Never happened, and it never will happen. So they murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. You see, they're the ones who started it. They started this. They said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. That's what our fathers did. And Jesus said, that was me. That was me coming down there in the form of that manna. That's what that was all about. It was to show your fathers that God was going to send me. I am that bread. And so they murmured. Oh, you can just imagine them just, they hate Jesus anyway. And every claim that he made concerning that he was sent from his father, that God was his father, that he could forgive sins, Jesus could forgive sins. And the Jews said, who can forgive sins but God? And Jesus is going, you get it. That's a good way of saying that. Boy, that made them mad. And I'm finding out that even those today who insist upon being Hebraic in their mindset, insist upon going back to the Torah to be put under the law, and here's why I'm so against this, is that when someone is leading you back under the law, the Bible says that they're leading you back under the condemnation of the law. We're supposed to be freed from that, and they're bringing you back under it. This is why I am so absolutely against this. But you see it here, the Jews are angry because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Now look at verse 50 of John chapter 6. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And see, this is where old Rome just don't get it. They just don't understand it because there's this pagan concept that you can eat the God and then you have the God in you. You are partaker of the God. You are the God. Well, that's what was sold to Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. Here, eat this, you'll become as gods, knowing good and evil. And so the Rome has it wrong because they start with an earthly made cookie. It's ground wheat, been bleached, processed. It's been rolled out. It's been turned into little circles that look like the sun. It's been imprinted with these little pagan letters on it. And then the priest goes alakazam, and he turns the earthly made cookie into Jesus. He says, now we're fulfilling the scripture. If you eat this, you're going to have eternal life for about the next, 23, 24 hours or something like that. But you need to come back and do it again because it'll wear off after a while. That's Roman Catholicism. It's absolutely insane. But anyway, the flesh that Jesus is talking about, the bread that he's talking about, is his word. It's not what our physical body eats. It's what our soul eats and lives on. John 6:58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. So I want you to just kind of think with me the possibility that Revelation 10 is dealing with, is showing you Jesus Christ. It's revealing this to you by way of these symbols. So why is he coming down? Remember why God sent manna to who? Israel. To his people from Naphtali and Gad and Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah and all these tribes. God sent bread to them so that they would live. It was a prototype. It was a picture of what was to come. So when we see this coming down from heaven, I'm thinking in my mind that it looks like to me that God is sending Jesus to give bread to his people who are in the wilderness. That's what I see here. All right. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16. And we're just going to deal with this. I know I have been doing Bible studies that have been like, you know, almost an hour long. And I'm going to just deal with one issue at a time here. And so that you can kind of assimilate this, and you can pray about it. You can go study the scriptures again. And then you can ask God, here's what Pastor Mike said, but he's a liar, and I want to know it from you. That way, if you get it from God, you've got it. If you get it from me, it may only be there for a little while. And then the devil likes to come and take the word and steal it away. And I may not be telling you the whole truth. I just may not be telling you everything. I don't know everything. And I'm looking at scripture as you are. I want to know. I want to understand things. And so what I'm doing is I'm just kind of showing you, giving you the little bread crumbs as they're coming down from heaven so that you can study this on your own, ponder this, make your own notes like I did, and say, God, is this right? Is this correct? Exodus chapter 16. And here's something interesting. Exodus chapter 16, if we were to count Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way to Genesis chapter 50, it's the 50th chapter of the Old Testament. Then we add 50 plus 16 is 66. I just like this. Here we have in the 66th chapter of the Bible, we have a revelation of Jesus Christ is what we have. I mean, I just think this is neat. Look at the language, all right? Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Notice that God used the verb rain. I will rain. What is it? We've studied this all throughout. What is it that we're going to say? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. We know that there's going to be a flood of ungodliness. We also know that his doctrine, God said his doctrine falls as the summer rains. It distills. It comes down from heaven. His doctrine, his word, is what has come to us down from heaven. And he's using the exact same language here to Israel, who is partially blinded, and they can't see. Now I'm like almost blinded. I can't see. Israel needs one more eye to see. I've got to have like two of them. God was showing them, I will rain bread from heaven. And he was teaching them that he was going to send his doctrine down from heaven to them. Where did the Ten Commandments come from? His law came down from heaven. And they didn't accept it. They didn't accept. They were down there breaking everything that God said, oh, don't do that. And they were already doing it. And so anyway, look at verse 7. This is what God said in the morning. Then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. I love that phrase, the glory of the Lord. We're going to find out as we go into this study what that is. There is the Bible identifies what or who is the glory of the Lord. So notice what he says. In the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. Go out, get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Pour you a nice hot cup of coffee or tea if you want to. Go out on your porch and sit there and wait till you see the glory of the Lord. Because it'll come up. It happens every 24 hours. The glory of the Lord. It says it's going to happen in the morning. And right now, Israel is in darkness. We are children of the day. And if you stop and think about this, Jesus even said this when he was John chapter 11, the Bible, Jesus talking about, what, know ye not there are 12 hours in the day. And so we are children of the day. We are of the 12 apostles who are in the day. Israel's in darkness right now. What's going to happen? It's going to change over, and the Gentile world's going to be in darkness, and beginning in the morning, Israel is going to be, they're going to see the light. Because why? Because Jesus' face shines as the sun. That's another clue from Revelation 10, Matthew chapter 17. Moses did that. He acted that out. And so right now in the morning, what's going to happen is the Gentile world's going to be put into darkness. And the remnant of Israel is going to have the sun, capital S-U-N, of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. He has wings. How do I know that? Because when you see the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus, he's got wings. All right? So anyway, and in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. What were they doing back here in John? They were murmuring against the Lord. They were murmuring because he said, I'm the bread from heaven. These are the same Jews, same people, whose forefathers were right here. And Jesus saw these guys, and he saw these guys, and he's just going, you haven't changed. You haven't changed at all in 2,000 years since Abraham. You haven't changed a bit. You're still murmuring at me. You're still complaining. And here's one of the reasons why I think it is an error for someone to tell you that you have to go back and understand now everything that Paul and Peter and James and John and all these guys in the New Testament said from the Hebraic perspective. The problem with the Hebraic perspective, especially at the time of Christ, and it goes all the way back to the time of Moses, is that they constantly complained against God. They constantly rejected him. Here is the bread coming down to them in the form of Jesus Christ, and they murmured and they rejected it. Here's the same bread coming down to them in the book of Exodus chapter 16, and they rejected it because eventually they just said, we loathe this light bread. They hated it. So you know what God did? God sent them quails until the Bible says the quails were just coming out of their nose, and they couldn't stomach that either. So I think it is an error to be forced into the position that we must only see the Bible the way the Jews saw it. And because their rabbis were all these wise people who said, oh, we see God this way and God that way, and his Messiah is going to do this. They didn't understand it. They didn't comprehend it. They were wrong in everything that they thought. So I think it's a huge mistake to go back and think the way they thought. It's not right. They were blind. Blindness in part has happened to him. Anyway, look at Exodus 16, verse 9. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. Oh, now that, have you ever been caught, you ever been caught murmuring about somebody? Have you ever been, did you ever, when you were a teenager, murmur about your mom and dad, and they said, what did you say to me? Come here to me. And you're going, oh, how am I going to lie about this? Or, has your wife ever caught you going, what'd you say to me? And you start sweating and you're going, I love you, dear. And so you can imagine, here's God saying, you're murmuring to me? Come near before me. So, and at verse 10, and it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Are you catching that? Guess who the glory of the Lord is? We have every clue in the Bible. The Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. Guess who the glory of the Lord is? You might want to study this ahead of time. Guess what the symbol of the glory of the Lord is? Go study that one. We'll get to it later. Look at verse 11. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. Look at that. In the morning ye shall be, what's that word? Filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, my words are spirit. And they are life. What is God going to do in these last days? He is going to fill his people in the morning with bread that came down from heaven. Isn't that beautiful? That is so beautiful. You shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. And they're looking right at him. But he's in clouds, and that's why he came in clouds, to hide his brightness from them. And they're looking right at the glory of the Lord, and the Lord is saying to them, when I fill you with this bread, you're going to know who I am. I absolutely love this. See, I'm because of the last couple videos I've released, because I have made very bold statements against Hebraic roots and sacred name, the sacred Hebrew stuff. I've made very bold statements against that. And I'm being accused of being anti-Semitic because I won't go and act like a Jew. I'm not. I am so for the 12 tribes of Israel because I know what this Bible says is awaiting them. One of these days, the sun's going to rise with healing in its wings. And God is going to feed his people once again, and he's going to fill them with his words, his spirit. And they're going to know. Look at verse 15. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. Now, this is one of those occasions where you're given a Hebrew word, and then it's translated for you, so you'll know it was, for they wist not what it was. And if you get a Strong's or whatever dictionary out, you look at the word manna, it'll be like, what is it? Because they'd never seen it before. And they were going, I don't know what this is. Bingo. That's your Hebraic thought. That is the Hebrew roots. They didn't know what this was. They didn't know it. They held it in their hand. They ground it with a pestle and a mortar and made paste out of it, made, dough and made cakes out of it, and ate it, tasted like honey, just like the Bible tastes. They didn't know what it was. It wasn't until the apostles came and the Holy Ghost was poured out. Now we know. Now we can look at this and know what that is. We get it. And Jesus sat there with them and said, that's me. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Murmur, 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 murmur. And that's what they did. So anyway, the symbol of coming down from heaven, again, I believe that has significance. I believe it's important. And I believe this signals to Israel to the 12 tribes that God is going to fulfill what he said he was going to do, and he's going to fill his people with bread, and then they're going to know. That's a great study to do on your own. Look at all the places, like in the Old Testament, where it says, and then they shall know that I, the Lord, am your God. Then shall ye know, then shall you know, then shall they know that I am the Lord your God. Study that one out, because it's all about Israel having a revelation of Jesus Christ. They're going to get it one of these days, and I can't wait. This is Pastor Mike. I love you. God bless you. Thank you for praying for us and standing with us, because we're going to stand for what's in this book, and we're going to stand against everything that attacks this book. This is what I'm going to do. I love you all. God bless you. Bye-bye.